welcome to That Geek Pod. I'm Catherine, and today I have two special guests with me, Brittany from the Canto Bite Dispatch and Sean from Just Shillin'. How are you going? How you going, Brittany?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just hanging around. I know, I feel bad. Right as we start recording, I had someone ask me retirement questions. So it's like, oh, like my brain, it's like Disney and retirement. So it's like the two things that just like get me going. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Well, aren't Disney building retirement villages, or are they just normal places to live?
I believe it's like retirement, like, I don't know. It's funny because we grew up watching The Simpsons, and whenever we talk about like retirement homes, we call it a retirement castle. But I don't think that they are building the equivalent to a retirement castle, because it's around like the Palm Springs area. But I think it's just housing for older residents who want to live in an older resident area. But I feel like we haven't really heard much about that since they announced it a couple of years back. I mean, obviously they're building, but have we heard anything?
Sure.
There's been rumors about some pricing and if it's anything like the Golden Oak stuff in Florida, but in Palm Springs, I imagine this is going to be a very, very expensive place to retire. So I don't know if it's going to be retirement for the normies like me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I'm going to be there. It's cool though. I'm exciting.
I know. It sounds so cool. I wonder if they get access to like characters too. Like, do we have like an aged Cinderella, an aged like beauty, like Beast to like come and say hi to everyone? Like, are they older too? Like, I don't know. Like, that's just so much fun to think about just the possibilities of this area.
I imagine it's going to be like in the same vein as like Club 33, but more of a commitment. It's going to be in that kind of bracket. So I imagine, yeah. I mean, if you live there and you're like, I'm having a birthday party on Sunday, can we get Cinderella? I imagine it's not an outright no. There's like we'll have a conversation, and I don't know what that conversation entails, but I that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from it.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And we have nothing Disney here. We've just got the Disney cruise in our summer months, cruising out of Melbourne and Sydney and a few other places. It's growing. Can't quite afford it yet, but then there's going to be one that's out of Singapore soon, which isn't that far from us. Yes, cruise lines, it seems to be our Disney experience down here.
Which boats are heading to Australia?
I knew this and it keeps floating out of my brain. Is it the...
Is it the Wonder or the Dream? Or the Wish?
It's one of the older ones.
Okay, it's probably the Wonder.
Yeah, because it's the one that hits Australia then goes to Hawaii. I know there's that route that I'm always tempted to do, where I think it's like off the west coast to Hawaii and Australia. Like, it's a long, I think it's a long like 2 week leg. I can't remember what the Pacifics are, but yeah, those are tempting. I haven't heard about the Singapore one yet. That's very interesting.
Isn't that one of the ones that they're building now?
Is that the Treasure? I can never keep track of what all they're building because they announce them so early. They announce them so far in advance that like you hear a name like the Treasure, and then it's like it takes years and years and years for it to finally like launch. That it's like, oh, is that the new one? I thought that one's been around for a long time, but really they just take so long to build that you've heard about it for 5+ years.
Yeah, and there was that one that they like retrofitted, isn't it? Or that they built, bought half done up? I don't know. I'm confused, to be perfectly honest. There's too many names. They all just blend into each other. Yeah. But they all look amazing. And if I was ever to do a cruise, it would be tempting to do a Disney cruise.
It's the only way to go. Sean, have you done a Disney cruise? Or have you done a couple?
I've done one Disney cruise. We went down to Castaway Key and then the Bahamas. I loved it. It was fantastic. My favorite part was the fact that the soft serve ice cream machines are open 24/7, all day, all night. It's just you. I mean, I don't know. This was before COVID and everything, so I don't know about now, but they used to just have them on the deck. One side was chocolate and vanilla. The other side was strawberry and banana, and you can get them both twisted. You can go up any time. Oh. And they had them on the island. The best thing ever. Loved it. Fantastic. I do want to go on the one that has the Star Wars bar, though.
Yes.
Like, I'd love to be in a financial position that I don't think I'll ever be in, where you could get like that. I think they have like a $2,500 Camtono drink that comes and it opens up and it's got all these like exotic drinks inside, and it like has the dry ice and steam and stuff everywhere. And in my head, I'm like, that would be so cool to do. But yeah, I think that will continue to live as a dream, but it's pretty neat to like watch people on YouTube get to participate in it.
Yeah. The Wish has a lot of cool things on the boat, and I hear their restaurants are just phenomenal, and just the different shows that they have too. I've done the Wonder and I really like that one, even though it's one of the smaller boats and it's like, I think it's the oldest boat. I really enjoyed my Disney cruise, and I did it during Halloween, so I was able to dress up and all that fun stuff. So highly recommend, Catherine.
Yeah, I think it is the Wonder. I've got a feeling. But yeah, I'm not sure, because they just say Disney Magic at Sea. They don't. Yeah.
Catherine, you pick some dates and tell us where you want to go, and we'll rally the troops, and we'll just give us a couple years notice, and we'll all go.
Well, I still think that Disney's missing a trick, that there's really a really good opportunity for a rom-com set on a Disney cruise line because of the rotational dining, where you know, have the same server, and you could, you know, some unattached female sit with some unattached, you know, male, maybe a Diego Luna type. And, you know, over the course of the Disney cruise where they are doing all the lovely activities, they fall in love. Look,
you know, I think there's a movie about, like, kind of has the theme of that, actually, where it's like two people meet on a cruise ship and then they fall in love, but then like something happens to one of them. Like, I don't know, I think it's something like, just like, I forget what the name of that movie is. I think it's like An Affair to Remember.
Yes.
Really? Yes. Old movie.
Yeah, lots of crying.
But does it have Diego Luna in it?
No. Cary Grant.
Oh. Oh, okay. That's
what they're crying about in Sleepless in Seattle.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Brittany and I are bonding over that. Sean's like going, yeah, I have no idea.
No, I'm thinking about the ice cream machines again.
I'm so jealous. So awesome. Like, on ours, it was just like chocolate and vanilla, and then like sometimes they'd have different flavors. I just remember specifically one night, it was the night of our costume party, I went to grab some ice cream, and like for some reason the ice cream wasn't fully set and it spilled all over me. I was so annoyed, and then the cast member was just looking at me like, oh no. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go away now. I'm going to go wipe my ice cream off of me because I'm 5.
Like, everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, I'm not really sure what any of us are supposed to do in this situation.
Yeah, what do we do? But I still won the costume contest, so I can't complain.
Yeah, your costumes, I remember those photos you sent through, were amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I was really proud of all of our thought process because my mom and my sister did it a year before. And they dressed up as, my sister dressed up as Cinderella, my mom dressed up as the fairy godmother. So I think we just wanted to keep the Cinderella theme going. And we did pretty well, I think. I was surprised that we didn't see any other people on the boat dressed up as what we were. Because, I mean, I feel like Cinderella, I feel like that's like a really like well-known Disney princess and, you know, different characters from it. So I was really surprised, you know, we got really lucky that we didn't have any fakes. We were the real ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone loves Disney here. So sorry, everyone else, but you will come around to the Disney way of thinking if Bobby I has anything to say about it. But this past week was the always infamous shareholders call. You know, where we listen to a lot of talk from executives talking to shareholders and always expecting some big announcements, which we don't get. But what were some of your takeaways? Because there were a few, not only in that shareholders call, but in the last week before that, a few like parked announcements. What were some of your thoughts or things that came out of it?
I can jump in. I think one thing that's kind of weird for me is like, it's trying to track down like where exactly some of the news came from. Cause I know we've gotten a lot of announcements recently and some of it came from the shareholder meeting. Some of it's come from like the Imagineering YouTube videos and the behind the scenes stuff that they've done. And then some of it I think has just come out through other things. For me personally, the thing I'm probably most excited for, probably because I hold a close place in my heart, is the proposed Magic Kingdom and Florida expansion out beyond Big Thunder Mountain, with possible talks of like doing like a villains themed land, and then also some other things along that are like the Animal Kingdom updates that they're gonna do, where sounds like they're finally getting rid of Dinotopia. Sorry for everybody who is passionate about Dinotopia, the carnival, the glorified carnival. And it sounds like they're going to be doing like a tropical Americas. I'm throwing air quotes around that, tropical Americas themed area where it could be like Coco, Encanto, and Indiana Jones themed. Those are probably the big ones for me. Cause I always like seeing new lands and stuff being created.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, the Disney forward, you know, them talking about how they're putting it like an Avatar land. I mean, I think that Pandora is so successful at Animal Kingdom that, you know, I still think that unfortunately Animal Kingdom is a half day park. But I think that Pandora helps it. And I think that potentially when they replace Dino Land, I feel like it will finally be a 3/4 of a day park. And I feel like I can justify saying that because, you know, you have the animals there, for God's sake. Like, we can't be partying all night because all of our animal friends are there. You know, we got to respect the animals.
Yeah.
Well, they finally got some young animals in there, too. It's not like it was 10 years ago where they had all the geriatric animals that were never out for the safaris. They got the new young ones that are actually out there doing stuff on the safaris. And so you got to be. We got to enjoy it and take care of them while they're young.
Oh my gosh, I know. Like, there's several. I think there was just like a little rhino, or no, like a little elephant that was like born like a couple months ago. Like, you know, they're reproducing. I mean, good for them. I can't relate, but good for them. You know.
And was it last week that Joe Rohde put up on his Instagram that he was coming into Imagineering to do some guest, like mentoring almost?
Yes. This is scary if true, because then something's going to be revealed at D23 and I'm just so excited to sit in that parks panel. this year and to be able to see like what everyone's doing, because I don't know that there's the fact that he's going back in there. Like, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And for context, like for those who don't know the name Joe Rohde, like, because that may be a deep cut for some not super Disney people. Joe Rohde is like the modern day Imagineer. Just like the epitome of it. Him coming in to do mentoring is a huge, huge deal for the Imagineering world and like the future of the Disney parks. Like, if you've been to Animal Kingdom, like that is essentially Joe Rohde's park. He's been involved in every kind of like major modern thing that they've done through Imagineering for a very, very long time. He's been away from the company for a little bit. I think he went and did some other stuff for a little while, but now that he's kind of back in the fold, it's very, very exciting to kind of see him be honored in that way. Cause I think he's also a Disney legend.
Yes, he will be this year.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Cause I think he left during the Chapek Parks era. It doesn't surprise me that now Chapek's out of the company, that they're making overtures back to Joe Rohde and other people like him to, if not come back, then at least, you know, those feelers are out there. But also I've seen footage of, is it Mystic Manor at Hong Kong, where the photo of the or the portrait of the eccentric, you know, adventurer who's collecting all these artifacts looks a lot like Joe Rohde.
I've never thought about it that way, but that's, now that you say it, it's like, ah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Oh, that's so cool. Just the little details. That's what I love so much about Disney, you know, just the tiny, like just the minor details that they put in it. And it's, you know, so minor, and it's like, but it's like, we're the type of people that understand that and cherish that, you know. It's just so
exactly cool. It's not about, I mean, there is the rush and the thrill of the things like the big fancy roller coasters and stuff like that, but I think the more, for me personally, the more I understand kind of the Disney way, the Imagineering and the thought and detail that they put into stuff, you really start to notice the focus on the most minute details, whether it's theming of trash cans to be related to the area, or just the focus on the details, like the Everest ride, and the focus on the amount of training and studying they did to make it feel real and to be authentic. It just goes that extra mile, and it's really meaningful. I really appreciate it, and I think it makes it all worth it in the end, more than just a ride.
So, you know, I've watched some things about, you know, the sight lines in Disney, especially, yeah, in Florida with Epcot and Animal Kingdom, and how they've lined up sight lines to hide what one thing is, but if something is completely visible, like the Tower of Terror, they've, you know, from the side that you see it from Epcot, it's in like a Thailand bit or something. So they've got one side that somehow speaks to that country that it will be a sight line of. And other whole things, things like, just, yeah, the level of detail that they've put into everything so that it's complete immersion. It's just astonishing. And that's Disney. I think that's, you know, what we want, going forward into, Disney forward, Disneyland forward, and the Beyond Big Thunder Mountain expansion.
Yes, and what you're talking about is it's the Morocco Pavilion. That's why when you go to Hollywood Studios, Tower of Terror is kind of like that pink color. And so when you're in Epcot and you kind of see over the top of Morocco from certain angles, you'll see the very top of Tower of Terror, and it matches, like it's a slight shade different, but it looks like it's part of that same building and that same architecture in the background. And it's like, how do people know that? Like, it's not like it's modern. Tower of Terror has been there for since like 97 or something. You know, it's not new. So that's crazy that they've always had that like level of thought to it.
Just that thought process is just amazing. Like, I was just up there in January and just the detail and just the feeling. I mean, like, Sean, you have like a personal sentiment to Disney World, you know, for, you know, your history there. And I feel like too, you know, it's such a happy place where it's like we've all created happy memories and create more. And just, it's just such a wonderful place. And I miss it every time I leave. Even now thinking about it, I'm just like, I need to plan a Disney World trip. But I keep planning all these cruises and these Star Wars celebrations, you know, it's like, how am I going to fit in another Disney World trip? It's like, I'm almost waiting for someone in my family to be like, hey, want to go to Disney World? Yes, let's go. But just a delightful thing. And, you know, we'll be, you know, Catherine and I will be hopefully, you know, adding another Disney park to our Disney parks list, you know, being able to go to Disney Tokyo. So that's amazing to think about.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about Tokyo Disney and DisneySea.
I'm excited for you guys because the only thing that's better than going to Disney yourself is to go with somebody else for the first time and then like bring your experience with you to kind of help facilitate them having a better time and just seeing people's eyes light up, even if it's not kids, it's adults, it's whatever. Like that is the best. In my book.
I know. When I went to Disney Paris, because I was just on my own, because I mean, we all know my wonderful European trip by myself. It was fun. It was just crazy because that was the first time being in a Disney park without my family or anything and just me. And it just, how still complete I felt, even though I was there alone, you know, different country, you know, I half the time everyone's speaking French, but you know what, it's fine. But it just, Disney just has this way of captivating you and just making you feel like home no matter where you are. And it was amazing because, you know, all of my feelings of dread or sadness just completely went away. Of course, like, sure, I was like, oh wow, like sometimes I'm just like, I'm eating dinner by myself and I'm like, this sucks. But other than that, like, it was just such an incredible experience.
And that castle looks beautiful in pictures.
It's stunning. They did a great job with that castle. And underneath where you see Maleficent, that's really cool. I never got a good picture or video of the dragon. I think I was rushing or something because I was like, I need to catch the train. So that's my only regret. And a lot of the rides there are so intense. Like, Space Mountain goes upside down. Like, all of the rides, like, before you get on, like, they have, like, the big, like, do not ride if you have back problems or you're pregnant. And I'm just thinking, like, why do you see those signs so much? Then you go on Space Mountain and you go upside down 10 times and you have to kind of stretch after you get off because you're like, oh, my gosh, I've never been rocked that hard in my life.
So what's, if you don't mind me asking, what is scarier, the Disneyland Paris Space Mountain where you go upside down, or the American Space Mountains where you feel like the rafters are 6 inches above your head and you're afraid to put your hands up because you're afraid you might hit one of them?
Oh, God. Well, I think that the Walt Disney World Space Mountain, that one is just hell because it's bumper, I mean, you're basically, it's the Matterhorn seating or it's the bobsled seating. So it's like you could hit your head back and accidentally hit someone or something. And you're so close to I don't like that one. And that one messes with your back more than the Matterhorn, I think.
Oh, yeah. It hurts. It hurts every time. But my favorite part is like the mild panic of riding it. And you're like, I think we missed a brake section. I think we were supposed to brake there and we're not slowing down. I think we have too many adults in this car. We're going too fast.
That's just so funny. Like, I don't know how, like, more people, like, don't get hurt on that ride because it's just, especially, like, when they turn on the lights. I've never been inside where they turn on the lights, but I see, like, the videos and the pictures, and I'm just like, how did they get away with this? Like, how did they do this to, like, it's crazy.
Why they keep the lights off.
Good. Yeah, that scared me. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well, Star Tours was about my favorite ride in Disneyland. I went over and over and over again. And if I was to go somehow transport myself over to Disneyland, I'd go over and over and over again to get the Cassian scene.
Oh my God, I know. I have to go again because I did a 3-day park hopper and I used 2 out of my 3 days. So I need to use my other one. So we're planning on going so that we can go on Star Tours a couple of times just to see the different variations. But I love that ride. But God, I'm getting old, guys. Like, I get headaches now because of the 3D glasses. I can't wear 3D glasses anymore because I'm an old fart now.
It's the 3D glasses that mess you up and not the simulator bounce, because that's why I can't ride it. Like, I appreciate Star Tours for what it is, but that's one of those ones where I'm like, it's not for me. I can't do that anymore. Just the kind of the piston driven simulator stuff. I love it. I think it's really cool, but it's the movement of the, I don't know if you've ever rode like Body Wars at the old Epcot stuff, but it reminds me of that, where it's those, it's like a school bus on a bunch of pistons, so it just kind of boom, 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 bangs you all left and right, and it's like, ooh, I can't do that anymore. I want to do it, but I have to appreciate it from afar.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is going to be a throwback. Not sure if any of you guys will get this reference, but I wish that they had it. So, like, they had two versions. One where, so at SeaWorld San Diego, they used to have, from what I believe, they used to have Wild Arctic. They had the actual ride, which is basically Star Tours without 3D glasses, simulator ride. And then they have another version where you just like walk onto, but it's like you're walking inside of like an animal exhibit. So you're seeing the polar bears, the whales, et cetera, et cetera. But they just have a video of what you're seeing on the ride. So I almost wish sometimes, like, I wish like Star Tours like had that option of just like, hey, like, we could watch a video. Like, that would be interesting. I doubt they'll ever do it, but I always think about that sometimes.
Just give me like an Apple headset and let me pick which one I want to ride, but don't move me. Just let me sit in a chair and be like, little headset on.
I forgot about that headset. That's so funny. Yeah, well, I can't wait to ride Star Tours and see that, because I've been seeing like the different ones with like Ahsoka, obviously Cassian. I'll have to go on that a couple times to see like which like different places and people I get, because that's always the fun part. And especially like, I know when all the Star Wars movies used to come out, it'd be so fun to, you know, see Krayt or see like Jakku. And it's funny because I feel like now when I go to Star Tours, I don't really get those planets anymore. I get like just like the regular, you know, like the Kashyyyk, Naboo. So it's like when I see those again, I'm like, oh, cool. It's happy times.
That's one of the, you know, really fascinating things about Star Tours as a ride, is that you can get that different experience every time. And are there any other or many other rides that do that? I know that Smuggler's Run is meant to be that, but isn't.
Smuggler's Run needs it. Needs that sooner rather than later. Like, I really enjoy Smuggler's Run. That's one of those ones that it depends. Like, you really got to have a crew of people with you that are not, don't let the kids drive. It's kind of one of those, unless you want to get shaken. But that's one of those ones where it needs a new theme, like, because it's that same kind of thing over and over again, and it doesn't have that rewrite ability. So yeah, that'd be cool. But to your question, I don't think there's, like, the only one that I could think of is maybe Mission Breakout and Tower of Terror, like their variability a little bit. Like, they don't have the library that Star Tours does, but Mission Breakout is, I think, a really good play on that, where it's kind of got that randomness. You'll get different cutscenes and stuff in between. And that's for those who don't know, that's the Tower of Terror in Disneyland, where they've rethemed it to be Guardians of the Galaxy themed, and big upgrade in my book, but it's really cool.
It's a lot of fun, even though I miss a Tower of Terror being in California. It is such a fun ride. It's fun riding with my family because that's one of the rides that, like, you know, how you can't do the Star Tours. Like, Carlos can't do that. He doesn't like going up and down, so I always have to do that one by myself.
Fair. It's fair.
He's coping with the Mission Breakout and not liking the up and down. Sorry, I've went on Tower of Terror a long time ago in Disney World. I freaked out. I did not go well on Tower of Terror. So I left Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout well alone because I'm like, yeah, no, I'll leave that one.
It's a team experience. The more you don't enjoy it, the more everybody else on your car does enjoy it. That's kind of
Yeah, that was Carlos when he first went on the Guardians. Oh God, what's the one that Epcot? Galactic Rewind. Yeah, so many. I love you, but it's like, can we just like simplify like the name of rides. Like, we don't need like
that ride Galactic needs a disclaimer.
Yeah, the ride needs a disclaimer. Yeah. Carlos didn't know it spun. So he's just sitting there yelling, why is this spinning? Why are we spinning? What is going on? It's so funny. I felt so bad. But the whole rest of the day, he was just so mad. He's like, you didn't tell me that it spun. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I forgot that it spun.
And then you look at it and go, I don't know what it did, Carlos. I don't know what happened. First, we were doing one thing, and then something else started happening. Did we spin? I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I wrote it multiple times, and I'm still like, I don't fully understand what that ride did. I didn't feel great. Don't drink before you go on. It's amazing, but it's the craziest ride I think I've ever been on. Besides that one X11 at Magic Mountain. That one's nuts, too.
I've never been to Magic Mountain. That's like the last thing I need to do. I was supposed to go in high school because the guy I was dating in high school got me tickets to Six Flags for my birthday, or I think it was the other way around, but then we broke up, and then I never know what happened with the Six Flags tickets, so I was never able to go. So I just was like, you know what? I'm never going to Six Flags, but now I'm old. So, I mean, I'm older, so sometimes like roller coasters, it's like I can't do them like I used to, you know, when I was younger, you know? You know?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's been those Imagineering videos. One came out with some of the animatronics for Tiana's. They just look amazing. Are you excited for the opening of Tiana's? Again, one of these very long names. What's it? Tiana's
Bayou Adventure?
Yeah, something like that.
It's like Twitter and X. It's like, we're going to call it Splash Mountain still. Yeah. Like, because it's still conceptually, you're still going down the mountain and getting splashed. It's Tiana's like Splash Mountain. Like,
yeah. Tiana's Splash Mountain, even though I'm thrilled that Tiana is there. Yeah. Some people that are not happy, but I'm thrilled. The animatronics look amazing. I feel like the past couple of years, Disney has been getting away with doing like the projection animatronics, where it's like, you know, for Mickey and Minnie's Railway, where it's just a weird ass Mickey head, and then they have the projection, and it doesn't work. I mean, also, I think that the new Mickey Mouse doesn't work. Like, why did we have to change the format of new Mickey Mouse where he's talking and his mouth is like we don't need this. Like, I don't like that Mickey. But I really love the animatronics. So I was really happy that they were putting work into their animatronics again, like they did for Pandora, because the Navi looked phenomenal, I think.
So I will say, in defense of new Mickey, you should watch those shorts on Disney Plus because they're hilarious and they're awesome, and it'll make you, I believe, you'll make you fall in love with new Mickey and kind of jaundice goofy. I think they're great. But I agree with 100% with what you're saying about like the projection faces, like all starting with like Midway Mania, where it has like weird jaundice Mr. Potato Head, or you go to Buzz Lightyear's and his face is all messed up because it's like half glitching, or you ride the Frozen ride and all their faces are projections, or Mine Train and all their faces are projections, and it's like it feels really lazy and it doesn't age well because those screens just they like yellow and get really messed up. But it's I think when we're going into Japan, not like I'm not spoiling anything, but there's a Beauty and the Beast ride in Japan that has these kind of, it's unbelievable how good those animatronics are. And that's all we kept saying over there. It's like, I really wish they'd invest in the animatronics kind of on in the US. And it's really exciting to see the Tiana stuff getting that, like the Mama Odie, like that looks real. It was incredible to see that in the video. And that's all of a long-winded way of saying I'm extremely excited for the new Splash Mountain. I didn't work at Splash Mountain, but I worked in close proximity to it. And so maybe I'm a little bit more strongly opinionated on this, but Splash Mountain did not look good. Like it was not well taken care of for like the last 10, 15 years. It was faded. Half the animatronics didn't work. It didn't have the investment that it needed. And so this is going to be an extremely welcome refurbishment. I think people have an idea of what the old Splash Mountain was, but I think the reality is very different. Like half those animatronics haven't worked in 5+ years. And so this is very exciting. I think it's gonna be a good retheme. And people who know who these characters are, like that alone is going to be awesome. It's like nobody knows who Brer Bear, Brer Fox, and Brer Rabbit are. Like Tiana's awesome. That movie ruled. So that's where I stand on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I didn't get to ride on it I had my Genie Plus. Went up to get it and, yeah, it broken down and then just timing-wise didn't work out because I didn't want to be walking around the park wet. But, yeah, I did go on it at Disney World a long time ago. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it being back. And they seem to be on schedule and, yeah, investing the money. And I've seen little bits of the new Frozen ride, I think at Hong Kong, and yet not projection faces.
Yeah.
The way God intended. Hey, so there's one thing I'm wondering, from what I've been reading about Tokyo Disney, how difficult is it to get tickets and to stay at the hotel? Because I mean, I know that staying at the hotel like gives you tickets, so you don't have to worry about that. But I've heard that the process is like really difficult to do both.
So I will say, I think I've only been once, so I can't speak with authority. I can only say like what my experiences were and how they differ from like the US parks. Because I do think, as somebody who goes to the US parks a lot, I think you have certain things that you're accustomed to doing. Like, oh, I can always call the number. I can call the hotline, or I can do this, or things work a certain way. But over there, I think where we kind of ran into pain points is kind of one way of doing things, and there's not really exceptions made beyond that. So like, you can't go to the front desk and be like, oh, can we add a day? Can we do this? It's like, no, you got to call that hotline. In terms of getting the hotels, I think there's a part of it that was more difficult for me because normally I'm not the one who books hotels and stuff like that. I think we can all probably assume that about me, but this time I had to be. I will say, I think there were issues because not to be technical about it, but I feel like the servers are in Japan. And so hitting them from the US, it felt really slow and everything's on a time. Like, they open up at 10 a.m. or whatever time it is, and they are gone almost instantly. I think my recommendations would be familiarize yourself with what hotels you're willing to stay at, and keep if you don't get the ones you want when you first sign up, you can keep checking over and over and over again. So like there's one guy that called the Celebration Hotel where you're like, oh, I'm in a Disney hotel, but it's not. It's like a 20-minute bus ride or something from there, but it's like a partner hotel. So just like make sure you know what hotels are actual Disney, like on property ones, because those are obviously the ones you probably want to get into. You're not going to get into the Toy Story one because I'll save my weird harebrained theories about that one, but you can't even like visit it unless you stay there. Like it's weird. Like they'll stop you at the street and be like, you look different. You're not coming in here. Bananas. It's crazy. You can't even like sneak in. You can keep checking. So like, if you don't get it, so like we were there and we were staying, we had like a night or two at a hotel we didn't want to be at. And if we kept checking the same day every time, they'll become available. Like they could become available. So just as long as you're like diligent about it, but it's not something you can like call and be like, oh, hey, can we get up, put on a wait list? Or we'd like to be here. And people are like, oh, we have a magical room left over, kept in reserve. That's just not, that isn't it. It's like what they have on that website is what they have. And so you have to kind of keep checking that. In terms of tickets, so you can get tickets when you're there through the hotels. It's very different. And also like the way you interact in the parks. So like you always see pictures on social media of like the crazy crowds in the front in the morning. And that is what it's like. If you stay in the Disney hotels, you obviously get to go to the front of that, like in a special kind of early entry thing. And it's very civil. Everybody's sitting there and you kind of go in and everybody's rushing to go to like the same four things. And like, it's very app based. So as soon as you walk through the gate, you got to like sign up for all your stuff. Instead of some things you get, some things you don't, but you can kind of keep checking. A lot of lines. It's very different than the US parks. Like if you really want a flavor of popcorn, you may have to wait for it. Like it seemed to be a lot of culture around like going for the exclusive items, like the exclusive food things. There was like a waffle, like a holiday waffle. I think that line was easily an hour plus for some people. Like you gotta know when to cut it off. Like I really want to try the curry popcorn. Sometimes you get lucky and there's no line. Sometimes there's a 30-minute line. I will say, I think the pay to play stuff goes further there. Like, especially if you're on limited time. Because I think you go there and like the lines don't seem as hostile maybe as the US parks. When there's a 2-hour line, there's a bit of hostility in the US parks. You're like, oh, we're all waiting too long. But there it's like, oh yeah, we're waiting here as long as we want. But the people who are maybe only have a couple days, like when we were there, yeah, I was more willing to pay $10 to go ride, to get straight on to a ride. But a lot of people aren't. And so you actually get to go. There's not as many people doing that, if that makes sense. So when you pay to go on a ride, you get right on. Like you just straight to the front, ride it. And it's like, okay, that just saved me 2 hours. Time is money, kind of weigh your options of what's really important and things like that. But a lot of queuing. And there's also the snacks are different. Prepare yourself. As somebody who, you've heard me wax poetic about the macaroons in Disneyland, the raspberry macaroons, I'd stop going to Disney if I could have those every day. They don't have stuff like that there. There's not going to be like the fresh bakeries. There's not going to be that kind of stuff. A lot of it is the kind of the snacks that you get people as gifts. And it's a very weird thing for me because like that's usually how I eat throughout the parks. So you kind of have to change the way you graze and eat and snack throughout the park because you're not going to want to open up a million rice crackers as you're walking around the park. So yeah, it's just different. It's amazing. I'm not knocking Tokyo Disney in any way, but it's just a very different experience. And I think knowing that ahead of time really helps.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, I've been reading about it, the lines and everything, and just like the different, you know, cues. So it's like, I feel like I'm prepared for that, especially like we're going with Rusty, and Rusty, he's like a 7-year-old. I love him, but it's like, he can't wait more than 15 minutes in line without getting antsy. So I definitely see us purchasing a lot of, you know, if they call the lightning lanes there, lightning lanes and everything, because that's how when we go, like my sister, she knows the parks like the back of her hand, and she knows how to get those lightning lanes, you know. So it was funny too, because the last time we went, you know, we were kind of trying, well, she was trying to compete with Dawes versus Lightning, or Dawes versus the Lightning Lanes and Genie Plus. And obviously she won, because, you know, with Dawes, you can't reserve anything before the park opens. And with, you know, Genie Plus, you can, you know, get five things and you can get your Lightning Lane. So I was screwed. So I had to buy Genie Plus. But I'm willing to do that, because especially I feel like tickets are so much cheaper than they are in the States, and just the different experiences, because like, I don't think we're going to experience this again. So it's like, I'm willing to spend as much as, well, however I think is appropriate to be able to ride as much as I can, because if we're going to be doing so much in Japan, you know, we're going to be hanging out with each other, you know, we're going to be like going to different, I don't know. Oh God, there's just so much to do. It just gets crazy to think that we're going to be up there in next year's time.
The key for me is to plan your day around getting into the park as early as humanly possible, because as soon as you get, as soon as you cross that threshold is when you can start doing everything. And everybody and their brother is trying to get into that park to schedule stuff. That's really what you're racing to do. You cross that threshold, schedule your stuff, and then make a mad dash, not a mad dash, but to whatever one of the big items is. For some people, that's like Soarin' in Disney Sea, and other in Tokyo Disneyland, it's the Beauty and the Beast ride. What's funny is Oh my gosh, Winnie the Pooh. That one's incredible too. I will say, like, no shade to the Disneyland Winnie the Pooh ride. That one's fun, and it's got the Country Bear Jamboree plaques still in it. But the Tokyo Winnie the Pooh ride is fantastic. It's a bit of a mind trip. It's Heffalumps and Woozles, but like in real life, if that makes sense. Like, it's a trip.
Is the Soarin' the same too over there than the ones over here?
I believe I could be wrong. I believe so, but I know I'm saying that because I'm kind of a dismisser of Soarin', and I know that's my fault. I know a lot of people love it, including people that I'm very close with, so I can't talk ill of it, but I do believe it's the same.
I've been butthurt because every time I've been to Disneyland and to Disney World the past three times, it's all been Soarin' over California. And I love Soarin' over California because it's like, you know, I'm a San Diego girly, and I admit I tear up every time I see San Diego. I don't know why, but your girl does. But I've seen it so goddamn much these past three times. I'm like, just give me regular Soarin'. I want to see the polar bear. I want to see the elephants in Africa. Like, I want to see when the Eiffel Tower gets all weird. Like, I want that. Like, I'm done with getting hit by the golf ball and just a different, yeah, you know, I'm just like, give me back regular Soarin'. Like, I get it. It's nice to bring back old things, but it's like, you know, that's like going on, Haunted Mansion, and the whole time it's just Nightmare Before Christmas. But like, I don't like that. I don't like Nightmare Before Christmas. So, you know, to each their own.
Fair. Or, hot take, skip Soarin', save yourself 2 hours, and ride something else.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm just messing. I'm going to get in trouble because I always badmouth Soarin', but.
Well, so wait, no, I want to know why you don't like Soarin'.
It's one of those ones where I've never thought it was justified the wait. I think the wait times have always just been, they're astronomical. Like, it's like, it's 2 hours, and I'm sorry, but it's like, I remember the Imagineering videos where the guy who like designed it was like, I built an Erector Set version in my garage with an old Erector Set, and it goes broop, and then it goes broop. It's like, that's all I see now. I'm like, it's an Erector Set where we float up and I see somebody's socked feet above me dangling down in front of my face, and they blow orange smell at me. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. It was just like, it's 2 hours. We're waiting for 2 hours for this. This is crazy. But then again, I'm also a huge fan of, if it's like, But then again, I'm also a stan for Country Bear Jamboree. So what does my opinion matter at this point?
Oh my gosh, no. When I was at Disney World, sorry, there's a bunch of dogs barking. I'm going to mute myself until they stop. Can you guys hear the dogs outside? No. Okay, I'll continue. So the last time I was at Disney World, oh, thank God Carlos is coming to save the day. We were there when it was the final weekend of Country Bear Jamboree before they remodel it. So much fun. It was just so fun because before, you know, I feel like everyone would want to skip Country Bear Jamboree because it's just, it's like these animatronic bears. They're old as shit, you know, but it was just so much fun. Everyone was singing along. Everyone was clapping. Carlos and I, the rest of the trip, were singing Blood on the Saddle. It was just so much fun.
It's a good one. It's a nice air-conditioned spot in the middle of the Florida heat. It's a good time. I'm excited that they are updating the songs. Those songs did not age well. And it's nice that they're putting money into it. I'm excited, you know. Granted,
yeah, it's always funny when things from Disney leave and people get so sentimental and they get angry and sad. Like there were so many people so sad that day, and they were crying because they weren't able to watch the last show because there was, you know, difficulties with the animatronics. So it's funny how kind of culty it gets sometimes, you know, especially with change. And you know, I admit sometimes I don't like change either, but sometimes it's good change because it's like, yeah, you're right, like these songs, like they don't hold up well, and it's time to give us some updates, you know, like we don't need any like TikTok dances inside or anything, but it's like, you know, we can give it like a nice, like a nice facelift, you know, like not anything too drastic.
They've already cut like four or five songs that really didn't age well. Like you should hear the ones that have been cut. But yeah, it's exciting. I think to your point about the reviews, I think you'll see that anybody who's familiar with like going to the parks, you're going to see that kind of stuff everywhere. Like I kind of compare it to Amazon reviews. It's like most people don't leave Amazon reviews when they're really happy and satisfied with the product they got. It's mostly the loudest negative voices are the ones that kind of float at the top. And you'll see that. You see that right now with Splash Mountain. You see that on any kind of Disney parks social media post, just all over the place. And same with Country Bears. But as somebody who's kind of followed the parks and stuff for quite a long time, like the amount of investment and stuff that's going into the parks right now is very, very exciting. What does kind of suck is that the stuff is going to take a really long time. Like the Magic Kingdom expansion, I mean, we're a ways away. Like the permits haven't even been filed, but so I think it kind of like wears on you after a while. You like get excited, kind of like Star Wars, like what we talk about all the time. Like, oh, we have a movie coming out in 3 years. And it's like, this is going to be even longer because they don't even know exactly what they're going to build, but they give us all this information so early and so often that some of it may not happen. Some of it may, who knows?
I know, and I feel like the Fantasyland expansion that they did in Magic Kingdom, like that took about like 10 years, right? It took a pretty long time for them to expand, and you know, it's beautiful there now, but it's just so jam-packed that it feels almost smaller, even though that Disneyland's is like so incredibly small. It feels like that in Florida because it's like everyone's there. So that's so good that they're getting that expansion, but that's going to take even longer, I feel like. It's like, it could be like good like 15 years until... You know, and that's the thing about Disney is that Disney is, you know, that was what Walt said. It was like Disneyland is never complete. Like, I truly feel like with the other parks, too, you know, just it's going to get bigger. Then more people are going to go and we're going to keep doing this thing. And then the whole state of Florida is going to be a Disney park. And I mean, I'm fine with that.
Well, that's what's the most interesting thing for me about the Magic Kingdom expansion is that. So for context, for people who don't know, I used to work at Country Bear Jamboree and Tom Sawyer Island Rafts. So I'm very familiar with that river. And they kick everybody off that island near the evening time, primarily because that is the fallout zone for a lot of the large scale evening fireworks. That's where the shells and trash fall. as it's still smoking and things like that. And so that whole back area is kind of what that's designated for. And so if they're expanding, because there's talk about expanding from Haunted Mansion over behind, wrapping around to Big Thunder Mountain, it'll be interesting to see if that has an effect on the nighttime fireworks celebrations, because that is a literal fallout area. That's what's funny. It's like, that's what I keep thinking about. It's like, how are they going to do that? Are they changing fireworks? Are they going to switch to more drone shows? Are they going to move it to more perimeter based fireworks? Cause I don't know if you've ever seen any of that stuff. That's a pretty cool where they do the 360 fireworks all the way around you, but they don't fire them necessarily kind of back behind Small World. It's cool stuff. I don't know. I'm way too in the weeds, but I want to know. I want to know how it happens. What are they going to do? Don't get rid of my fireworks.
And I've seen that at Disneyland, how in Bashu, you could always see, like, quote unquote, the back of the fireworks display. Now they're going to have, or at least during this season of The Force, play Star Wars music during the fireworks show, to have like a special Star Wars fireworks almost during that, if you're in Bashu.
I know, I can't wait to see that. I've seen like only a couple of videos. I think the first night they were supposed to do it, they canceled it because of the weather. So I think like the first night of it was like Sunday night or something. I could be wrong, but yeah, that's so cool that they're doing that. I feel like, hot take here, but I feel like Galaxy's Edge is Disney's most neglected park, because I think what they did was they were like, here's all this immersive crap. There you go. That's it. We're going to finish this, and then we're going to add Rise of the Resistance 6 months later, and then that's it. We're never going to touch it again. And it is my dream for either them to do like an expansion on Galaxy's Edge or add more to it, because I feel like for what they promised, you know, people for like the immersiveness and everything, like I feel like it's such a big letdown. Like that is like, I will, that is my Roman Empire, is Galaxy's Edge, and just how much more they could have done with it.
So I'm going to send you down the rabbit hole on this one, because I know that sentiment and I feel it too. There is a video out there. I'll have to send you the link where there is somebody who did the analysis of like the remnants of a ride that they were planning on building, but then they scrapped as kind of like a people mover. Yes. It's like a people mover around the park, and you can still see the, like, there's, I'm sure you felt it too, when you go to Galaxy's Edge, there's stuff that's like just weird. It's like, I don't understand why certain things are in certain places, and there's just weird things there. And it's like, what is this? But then he kind of breaks it down into like, oh, this would have been a loading platform. This would have been a bridge that crosses over the walkway, and you have like this people movery kind of thing. It's really crazy. I'll have to send you the link. It gets way into the weeds, but it's like, yeah, that makes sense of why there's this weird open space and stuff that shouldn't really be there, but it kind of is. Because it does seem like there's like, were they going to do parades? Were they going to do this? But I'm in that same boat of like, my biggest issues with Galaxy's Edge are like the fact that they've tried to tie it to canon. So it's like, it's in a weird time, but it's not. It's like, and it seems like they're trying to get away from that.
They should. It's ridiculous. But it's so dumb.
Yeah.
Why are we stuck in one era? And I feel like, too, they did that with the Star Wars Hotel, and then they scrapped that. So it's like, what do we have now? But then that gives them more opportunity to expand Galaxy's Edge, because, you know, they have all this land now over there.
And they need to make, they need to make Oga's Cantina bigger. I've been there a couple times. I love Oga's Cantina. I've spent way too much money there because of the 45-minute limits, where they're like, you get 45 minutes and then you gotta get out of here. And so it's like, well, we gotta try everything on this menu, because, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan. But that, I don't feel like I've ever got to really sit and enjoy it. That, I think that's one of my other, like, because yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm being really negative about it. Like, Galaxy's Edge is amazing. It's beautiful. Like, there's stuff I go there now and see, and it's like, I take for granted that there's a full-size A-Wing, that there's droids, the little Huey, Dewey, and Louie droids walking around now. But it's like, there's definitely some pain points there that I'm hoping that they correct over time. But sorry, Catherine, I'm sure you have thoughts on Huey, Dewey, and Louie. I don't know what they're really called. That's what I keep calling them.
They are adorable. Mm-hmm. My brain cannot quite comprehend how cute they are. The orange one, I haven't seen the orange one in the new clips since they've been released. Like, he was in all the testing videos, but I've only seen the blue and green ones, not the orange one. So I want to see my orange boy, but oh my God, so cute. And yeah, this is perfect Galaxy Edge, like Star Wars, Disneyland come together in these droids. Like, it's just perfection. And it adds to that, you know, that was it kinetic energy of the park, of having things moving all the time. Because, you know, there's that bit in Tomorrowland where you can see the monorail and the submarines, and all that sort of kinetic energy is really important for the park. And Bashu's kind of doesn't quite have that there, but having more characters walking around, having the droids, it's adding to it. It's good.
I agree 100%. Did you see the video where they were interacting with like the real life ducks and baby ducks?
Oh my God, yes. It's perfect. Like, you've got to think the cast members that day going, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, let's just have them interact and, yep, put that on Instagram. That is the absolute perfect marketing. But, yeah, these little droids, like their little expressions, how they move their heads, and I swear they move their little antennas also. It's amazing. It is amazing. Like, this is Disney Imagineering at its finest to build all of this and make it adorable.
This is a bit of a dig because it has to do with the Imagineering stuff, but there was a video that came out a couple weeks ago from the Imagineering and Disney Research Program where they were showing off this kind of a tile floor that kind of is kinetic and that you can like move stuff around on. So it's almost like if you're in VR, you can walk and it will like move in different directions and kind of keep you in the center of it. I'm not doing it justice, but all I could think of when I was seeing them demonstrate it was they're going to put this in the parks and they are going to use it to let guests be force, like use the force. I'm like, I'm ready for it to be over in a section. And they're like, Sean, put your hand out and move it to the side and like move those boxes. And I'm like, this is dumb, but I am ready. Let me do that. Let me move stuff with my mind. And like, I'm ready. Let me do it, please. Let me move people. Like, put a stormtrooper over there and let me move them around with my hand. I'm so excited. If they don't let me do that, then I will be disappointed. Fingers crossed.
And I think I saw in a video, Ordinary Adventures video, that some of the drinks from the Disney Hotel, the Star Cruiser, have made their way into Olgerd's. So you could drink like you're on the Star Cruiser.
Now I gotta drink even more in 45 minutes.
You know, Olga's Cantina, they just need more snackies. If they had more snackies, then I think I would be content. Like, I can eat pretty quickly. So, you know, just give me more snackies and then possibly like one or two more different like drinks, because I feel like I always go for the hibiscus marg, or it's like the margarita with like the puree on top. Like, that's always like my like go to. And if they made like another one of those in like a different flavor, like I'd be so down. And make Olga's bigger, because, you know, I feel bad too, because I feel like one of the biggest complaints I feel like I see that people have, and I agree to, is like the standing bar. Like, I personally, after walking 15 miles at Epcot and at Hollywood Studios, like, your girl needs to sit down. So when I go to a standing bar, I mean, like, I'm happy to be here. I'll take a drink. Like, I wish that my little legs could get some rest. But you know what? To each their own, you know. There's probably some people out there that enjoy the standing bars, but I'm not one of those people.
the snack thing is a definite. The Jell-O Pop Rocks and boba snacks in a petri dish, they're not filling. They're not filling. They're not cutting it. We need like barbecued pork or something to really kind of beef it up, for lack of a better word. The fuzzy tauntaun is pretty good, but if you'll hear me, there's a really funny about Oga's Cantina. That's the only place that I've ever actually seen another guest get kicked out of. It was after the pandemic, but they still had the plexiglass things in the booths, kind of like they have a big booth and you're going to put two parties there. They had this like plexiglass there, and we went and sat down, and there was an extremely intoxicated individual in the booth next to us, waving at us through the plexiglass. And then she proceeds to stick her tongue on the plexiglass and lick all the way up, but smearing her face up.
Oh my God.
And then the manager walks up and goes, "You, let's go. We're done. We're done here." We're like, "Oh, okay. That was awesome. Can we have a couple of drinks, please? Does our 45 minutes start now, or did..." Okay. But it was awesome. It's a memory that will live forever. And it's like, what would compel somebody to do that? But it was very funny.
If that was my first time in Olga's Cantina, I would forever go to Olga's Cantina. Like, that is such a wonder, like, that's just such an incredible first impression of Galaxy's Edge's Olga's Cantina. Someone licking the plexiglass, like, I like, they're one of those, God, what was it called? Those little things on the foul, or no, the inside of the, no, I don't know. My brain can't think about Star Wars right now. There's already a bunch going on.
It's like a Minoc.
Thank you.
On the power converters or whatever they were, power
Thank
cables.
Thank you. I need you in my brain sometimes so that I can figure out things. It's the cancer that really makes me forget things now. But
it's like, I'll have two of what she had, please. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Even if it's the fuzzy tauntaun. Like, I had the fuzzy tauntaun, I think, the first time I went to Olga's. And even though, like, the you know, the numbing fizz thing wasn't really fun, the drink was good. But
yeah, good times.
What they really need to do too is, you know, they have the different popcorn flavors at Tokyo Disney. They really need to add that to Galaxy's Edge, and also to what I think that Disneyland is missing too. So my first night at Hollywood Studios, we were waiting for Fantasmic to start, and you know, Carlos and I, like, we have the munchies, like, we need to find something to eat, and I'm like, I got you, I'll go to the snack bar, I'll just grab whatever I see. So I grab like popcorn, some Mickey bars, and I see they have candied nuts, and I'm thinking, when was the last time I had candied nuts? They were the most delicious things I've ever had, and the rest of the trip I was getting candied nuts. You know, you see, I see nuts, I buy them, but they don't have that at Disneyland for some reason. Like, they need to bring, if they used to have candied nuts, they need to bring those mofos back.
But they have macaroons, so.
Well, bring those too. That's what Olga's could need too, is different macaroons.
Okay.
Macaroons. They were so good. Like, that raspberry one, I was so sad because we went the next day and I ordered them too late. It was, but oh my God, like, I can't wait to go back. I was just thinking about that, where I'm like, oh yeah, I can go back and get like 10 of those macaroons. Cause yeah, I agree. Like, if I could have one of those every day, like, I'd be set.
I debated. So I have some family who's going later this summer. And I'm like, I could go down there and I could get like a one day ticket just to go in and get a macaroon. Like, that's normal, right? Like, that's not dumb, right? And it's like, no. And they're like, we'll just bring you one out. I'm like, but it won't be as fresh. I need it like, Catherine, I kid you not, these are the best macaroons I've ever had in my life. Like, and I'm not a macaroon person. Like, they're life changing. They're raspberry. They got little fresh raspberries on them. It's like a big pink Mickey head with like a silver brush stroke across it. And it's got fresh raspberries and something else, and they just melt in your mouth. The best. It's my favorite Disney snack ever of all time. Past, present, future. They're amazing.
And it's so sophisticated too. And I used to not be a Jolly Holiday stand before that, but you know, them adding the different, like they had the brie of grilled cheese now with the sauce, and that's so good too. And you can't go wrong with a grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup. Like Jolly Holiday, like don't sleep on Jolly Holiday.
Yeah. Since coming home, I've discovered they had the grilled cheese, and I'm like, God, if I'd known they'd had a grilled cheese, look out, that's where I would have been having meals all day, every day. Yeah. See, toasted cheese sandwich is what we call it here, but you can't go better. They're the best.
Those and like mini corn dogs. They have mini corn dogs at Magic Kingdom. They need to bring those. They need to bring those to Olga's too. Like, look at us creating a menu for Olga's Cantina snacks. Like mini corn dogs, macaroons, different flavors of popcorn, some candied nuts. Like that's it.
Cheeseburger egg rolls.
Oh my god,
cheeseburger egg rolls too.
So good. The pizza ones were good too, but they weren't as good as the cheeseburger egg rolls, and that's something that Disneyland needs too. But God, just the snacks are just—I mean, they've always been great, but just lately, like we've been going and just getting the different things. And California Adventure now, in San Francisco, they have—I hope I'm saying it correctly—they have like a breakfast burrito that's delicious. Like just the different foods, it's just phenomenal. These past couple—I mean, I say like the past like 10 years, like they've really upped their food game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All that to say, it's like, I feel like that's the natural trajectory and arc of like a Disney parks fan. If like the first couple times you go, you're like, there's not enough roller coasters, I'd rather go to Universal. But then you discover like the food and the hidden gems, and then like drinking around the world and the macaroons and things like that. And you're like, oh, I don't even ride half the rides. I just go and eat myself into oblivion. And I love every minute of it.
And then you look on Instagram repeatedly for the new popcorn buckets. So, yeah, the Jabba the Hutt ones that's just come out. Oh, my God.
I know. I need to snatch that. If I go soon, do you guys want a Jabba the Hutt popcorn bucket?
I should say no. Yeah. I should say no.
I know Christine wants one, and I want to try to get it one, but if those lines are so long, I mean, I hope that when I'm there, they aren't going to be as long, because I always think of the 2022 Figment bucket at Epcot, and how crazy those lines were and how funny it was. I think it was for the Festival, it was for Farts, Festival of the Arts. Yep. I always end up going during Farts for some reason, and it's always like so much fun, but it's so funny. Just the discourse from that silly little bucket, I'll never forget. I think that's when I realized how big I always realized how big the merchandise was at Disney, but seeing the discourse on this bucket. And I think like a couple months later, there was like another bucket. It wasn't as big as the Figment bucket, but it was like, I think it was like a Mickey one. It was the Steamboat Willie bucket, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
That's kind of a takeaway. It's like, if you're getting new, if you're new to the parks and you see like all this exclusive merch, cause it's really easy to get sucked into it. Like you go on Disney Food Blog, or if you go watch all these other videos, and like, this is the kind of stuff they're talking about. Cause it's easy to be oblivious to it. You just go to the parks, you see people carrying around a music box, Christmas popcorn bug. You're like, oh, that's neat. Cool. Okay. And you keep walking, but it's easy to get sucked into. This isn't for the faint of heart. This stuff is, people get feral trying to get, like, people will buy tickets to go to the parks just to go get this merch. So be warned, if you're new to it, it can get intense. It can get very, very intense, especially for the exclusive merch, especially around the holidays. If you go to the holiday, like Christmas parties and stuff like that, and you want special holiday, like, okay, so Tokyo Disneyland has like the best merch for their holiday stuff. Like they have like little ghost plates and little, oh, it's amazing. It's a beautiful stuff. But it's people are nutty, and they will go into the park and just go straight for this merch and then leave. So just forewarning everybody, it can be wild.
And I love the holiday parties too. Like, I've only been to the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and that was just so precious. Like, just the special parades, then you the different character sightings. Like, that's where I was able to get pictures with the seven dwarves, and that's always so much fun, is seeing those rare characters out and about. And I always love when it's like, you know, a rainy day or like something weird going on, and you just like see Geppetto in Epcot. You know, like, I love that kind of stuff so much. Like, just seeing like the not so well known or not so, you know, brought out characters, because that just is so much fun, like just seeing those people and getting pictures of them, because it's like you don't see that. It's so cool.
It's like it's like running the marathons, like the half marathons and stuff, where they put the special characters out on the race course. You're like, I'm running a race, I can't stop for that. But like my favorite is the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I think that's because they have trick-or-treating involved, and you can go get candy, and they have all the special snacks, and like people like Max from the Goofy movie dressed as Powerline, they'll have them out, and all these like really rare characters. Like, that's the only time that I've ever seen like the Fox Robin Hood character, like just generally in the park. They're extra ticketed events, but they're worth it because they're usually not as full as the regular park day. They kick everybody else out, and so you can kind of have the nighttime. They're worth a gander if you're in the parks around anywhere from, I don't know, August to January. There's usually special parties going on. But they're a lot of fun.
I went to like one of the May the 4th ones, and it was fine. My biggest takeaway from that, though, is that most of those lines, like there were some of them where it'd be like a 50% chance you would get your picture with Darth Maul, and then 50% chance you get your picture with like Queen Amidala or something. And just it's like... Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, like that's just too rough of a decision. Like, why can't I do both? Just like how at Magic Kingdom, you know, you can go to the Princess Pavilion, or you can go in that line, you get your picture with Rapunzel and Sleeping Beauty. You know, I just wish that. But then I heard like the food wasn't very good, and I don't know. I think they've improved it the last couple of years, but god, that was at least almost 6 years ago that I last went to like one of those like ticketed events. But I think there's going to be one for D23, and I might go to that one.
I will say that I haven't had the best luck with the single ticketed events, like the retro nights or like the May the 4th stuff, because it doesn't feel like they got their groove. So like things are always just kind of like chaotic a little bit. They tend to turn out to be like a lot of like photo opportunities with a cutout, or like, I agree. I wish you could go in, and I wish they have like the characters like buffet style. Like, you just wait in one line and just boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, instead of the going different places and doing different things. Like how they used to do the Tinkerbell and the fairies. Like, you could just walk in, you're like, I'm just line them all up so I can photo, and then be out. But man, but they're still fun. Like, it's fun to see the ticketed events though too, because just there are characters they'll bring out one time and then never again. Like the retro night had like Tom Morrow and the paging Dr. Tom Morrow and all this. Yeah, and it's like they're never gonna have that person out again and stuff like that. But yeah,
I would
die. Popcorn buckets are cool.
Yeah. Popcorn buckets. Yeah, I would die to get my picture with Mr. Tom Morrow. Like, every time I am on the People Mover, that always gets stuck in my head. And I find myself time after time getting that stuck in my head. And then I hear it and I'm just like, oh man, I've been waiting years. Or the family from the Carousel of Progress. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Like, that is my one ride. Like, if they announce that they are removing the Carousel of Progress, I will purposely go to Disney World just to be able to experience that for the last time. And I believe that, because I always remember like each park, you know, because Carlos was his first time going when we went, like the first things we did in each park, and that was literally the first thing that we did when we got to Magic Kingdom. Our second day was, we're doing this, we're going to the Carousel of Progress. We're like the only two people there. It was so delightful just like seeing his, you know, his reaction, just like, what the hell is this? And it just is like, this is art.
There is no air conditioning like the Carousel of Progress air conditioning. There's something in the air there. It may be the steam, the smoke from the final scene. I don't know. There's something captivating about it. Speaking, I do, I don't know if you heard about this, Brittany, because I just now heard about it like yesterday. Did you hear the news about Autopia?
Yeah, that they're getting rid of the Chevron gas, that it's going to be like gas, like electric cars now or something, right?
They're going to stop burning kerosene and killing us all, moving them to electric.
That's the only reason why I go to Chevron, is to feel like I'm at an Autopia.
You're just out there just sniffing fumes out into Chevron or what? Because that's all I can think of when I think of Autopia. It's like, this place smells like burning fuel. This cannot be healthy. But yeah, they're going electric. That's so exciting.
I know. That's so much fun. I still need to get Emily in Autopia. I don't know how I'm going to do it now, because it's like she keeps avoiding all the Disney parks. And it's, that's, I think, one of my regrets, because I feel like I was, during a Celebration Anaheim, that was like one of my big things. So I was like, I'm not going to do the Star Wars night that everyone's going to do, because, screw Bob Chapek, Bob Paycheck. I'm not going to, I feel like I should have done it, because it's like, I feel like I go back and look at pictures and I think about how empty the queues were, and I'm just like, dang it, I should have done that. Why was I so weird about that? But it's fine. I mean, we all get weird about things sometimes. But the next time there's a celebration in Anaheim, I'll definitely join you guys and do the Star Wars night, because, yeah, there's just so much
fun. I didn't do it either. It was too busy for me. That was... But I do wonder, what are you going to sandwich between around Autopia for Emily? Autopia, I don't know. What are you going to sandwich on either side of it? Because I don't want to speak for Emily, but I'm not sure you're going to win hearts and minds with Autopia. What are you going to bookend it with? I'd be like, that was fun. Hey, let's give this a shot. JK, let's do this now. And what are you going to put on, if that makes sense? I'm not knocking Autopia, but.
Yeah. Well, I think what we should do is, I think we should start off with going to hell with Mr. Toad. I think that is just such a funny ride to start off with, because it's just like, where are you? We're in hell. Being in a Disney park and then ending up in hell, two things you don't think intertwine. So then you go to hell and then you breathe fumes and then you need something happy. So you're going to go to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and then you're just going to feel, because that ride is just so joyful. Just Mickey and Minnie singing Nothing Can Stop Us Now, even though they throw, I don't want to give ride spoilers, but it's just such a delightful ride. The queue is adorable. Can I just say, they did such a phenomenal job. And it's so sad too, because they replaced the Great Movie Ride with that at Hollywood Studios, and it still smells so bad, and they did a terrible job revamping the queue for that. It makes me so sad, because the one at Toontown is phenomenal.
Yep. That's Runaway Railway has no business being that good.
No.
For how seemingly cheap it was to make. It's like, you guys earn points with character and personality. All right, that's fair.
They did such a good job with Toontown. I feel like now, going to Toontown is more enjoyable than before, because they did a great job with just adding different props, and they revamped Mickey and Minnie's house, which is fantastic. I think they just finished Donald's boat and the little splash pad for the kids, which is really cool. And they finished the, I'm not sure if it's called the Barnstormer or no, it's the Barnstormer at Magic Kingdom. I forget what it's called over here. I could be wrong though, but I think they revamped that ride over there too. But they've been doing they did a good job. I used to be in the boat that they should destroy Toontown, but you know what? They could keep it. I think they should keep it.
Two thumbs up.
I like the vibes in Tomorrowland. It's just, I know it's a bit run down, but Tomorrowland's just cool. And I don't want to go on the submarines, but I do like the lake with the submarines, the monorail. It's just, it's a nice little corner.
Yeah, the aesthetic's really nice. I also don't like, we can't go on the submarines, unfortunately. My sister's boyfriend's a Marine, so that's like the ride that he bans. Like, no one can go on the submarines, which is fine because it's like they always smell. I was on Reddit the other day and there was someone like complaining about like people were farting so much on that ride. That's like all I can think about that now. But yeah, that's true, because it's like you think about that ride and you just, it has this like musky like fart smell. So it's like, it's just, it's, I understand what they were doing, like bringing back the submarines, but I just don't think it's for anyone. Like, I personally, like, I could live forever without ever having to go on that ride again.
Tokyo Disney did it right, and you will see it when you ride it. They, okay. modern version, two thumbs up. Way to go. You did it. And they nailed the whole aesthetic with like Journey to the Center of the Earth and like that Jules Verne steampunk vibe of the whole area. That's, it makes you want to be like, yep, yeah, tear it out of the other parks. Get rid of out of Disneyland. No. Rough draft. Throw it away. Put something new in there.
God, well, you know what makes me sad about Disneyland now too? Is that Pirates of the Caribbean is so busy now. So like the bridge now, from Adventureland going to New Orleans, like that's all just queue now because it's like, it's so busy now. It's so crazy just how busy that's got. But now, because they've been revamping the Haunted Mansion for a long time, they put a lightning lane there at Pirates. So I think that's really helped, because before it would just get so busy, they would have to just create that queue that just lasts forever.
Pro tip, and I'm sure Brittany will agree, if you want to ride Pirates of the Caribbean at any park, wait till the last possible moment in the evening. Mm-hmm. And that 2-hour queue will go down to 4 seconds, because for some reason it always dies.
That and the Haunted Mansion, or I feel like those are like good rides to start off with doing, like in the, like when you first get to the park, because you can just do, like before, what you would do is you would start off with like Pirates and then go to Haunted Mansion and then like do Splash or something. You know, if you feel like doing Winnie the Pooh, you do Winnie the Pooh, then go back around and, you know, do something else, get your fast pass. Back then there were fast pass, get your fast pass for Indiana. And if you want to do Space, you can do Space. Like, there are just so many different ways that you could really take advantage of your time rope dropping. Like, I feel like rope dropping is just so important, because you're able to do so much, and it's like 9:30 and you've done already half of your rides, and you're able to go get some flavored of the month beignets and just, you know, take it in for a couple minutes.
You're just reminding me of all of my, like, depending on the park, my strategies. It's like, okay, you're going to Florida, stay on property. Da 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 da. Don't do this, don't do that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and then make sure you go here, then go right first. If you go here, you go left. If you're gonna drink around the world, start in Canada. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Why do people start in Mexico? You have to start in Canada.
Well, I mean, I'll say it, because they're fakers and they're not doing it the real way. They're drinking light, because there's no way you start in Mexico and you survive long enough, unless you dilly dally and take forever to do it. If you're truly drinking around the world, which is where you go to Epcot in Florida and you have a themed drink at every one of the country pavilions consecutively, you start in Canada, because there's no way you can start with Mexico, because that's where the strongest drinks are, because you have to get a margarita or something with tequila in it. And that's the point where you're like, you get the drink and then you get out, you leave. You're like, you don't hang around. You're like, let's get Mexico. And we gotta go. We have to get out of here, because
or else you're licking plexiglass.
Yeah, or you're licking plexiglass, or you're gonna decide to ride that Guardians of the Galaxy ride again. And that's not gonna go well for you.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's why I was really hoping that the celebration would be in Orlando, so that we could all go to Disney World together, because there is nothing like staying on Disney property. Like, even at like the budgeted hotels, like I stayed at one of the All-Star resorts and I stayed at All-Star Movies. It was so delightful. Like, even though, like, yeah, in the mornings was a little busy, like getting on the buses and, you know, you'd meet some characters. But it was just so delightful. Just anytime you get on one of those Disney buses and, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, and welcome home. It's like you truly, really do feel like home. Like they do a great job in making you comfortable and making you happy. And they even added like little charging ports on the bus now so you can charge your phone. Like just like little things like that. Like they're, I just love Disney World so much and just the little things they do to really make you comfortable and really make you like want to go back. Like it's just so magical.
So I can't wait for, well, let's face it, about 12 months from now when we're in Japan and we can go to Tokyo Disneyland together. So Brittany, that would be 4 Disney parks you've been to. You then just have to go to Hong Kong and Shanghai to get the whole, all of them.
I know, that's crazy. I know, it's funny. My family, we're planning on doing a cruise through Europe, and my parents are like, yeah, let's go to Disney Paris. So I'll get to show them around there. And they're just, you know, asking me for tips and tricks and everything. And it's like, I feel like I'm like, I'm the least experienced person to do this. But it's like, it's so much fun traveling to these different places. And even though it's like your first time there, it's like, you really feel like you're home. You really feel like you're at a place that you know so well. And even though it's different, even though it's you can't really read or understand anything, like it's still home somehow. And Disney has just this wonderful way of doing that, and it's something that just keeps me going back to these parks and creating these memories with family and friends and, you know, and with all of us. And it's just such a great thing that we can come here and talk about these happy things and these just like these little details that not everyone else can see and that we love and appreciate. God, I really wish you guys were going to the D23 Expo, or it's called something else now, like the, I don't even know, it's, you know, like what we call it, it's Splash Mountain, it's D23 Expo.
I look forward to living, I'm gonna live vicariously through you. I look forward to all the updates.
The Brittany Brown correspondent.
Sean, I'm surprised you're not going. I feel like this is your gig.
I've been to D23 once before. I do like it. It's a vibe that is. I like the parks. I like the parks, and I like being there. I don't think D23 is my. That's more rope droppy than I'm willing to put into it. But it is cool. I do like it. I follow it when it's going. I'm excited to see what's coming out, because if we've already got this information, because when is it, August, if we've already got this stuff, then what are they going to announce then? Like, what are you going to get to see?
Oh my god, and that they have the Honda Center to fit us all in there and show us things, like they have to be showing us something, or else they're just silly as hell doing all this and making it so difficult for everyone to get tickets. I mean, I almost didn't get tickets. I always get tickets to things, so it's a very stressful buying situation.
Galaxy's Edge grenade Coke bottles.
I swear, we still have our Coca-Cola shirts. That's like, I feel like every time Carlos goes over to my parents' house, Rusty always gives him shit because he's always wearing that Coca-Cola shirt. It's just so funny. Just the different merch. But I think the 2 years ago, they gave us like a little gift basket of all the different Porto's treats, even though like Porto's is like, I don't think we're ever going to see Porto's at Downtown Disney. I would say at least like the next like 2 years probably. But it's just so fun, just the different things that they give us and just how excited people get. Like people, I was so excited too because I was hungry as shit. But it was just so funny just seeing people get excited, like, you're getting a Porto's, you know, Josh is at Castaway Key, or like just something. Like it's so funny, just like the little things that just get people so excited. And you know, I'm a big parks person too, but it's like, I'm not the person crying because they're bringing back Wishes or something, you know, but I'm happy to see Jordan Fisher up there doing the performance. Just those things, you know?
Ooh, I agree with you, but you use like the one thing I was probably like, ooh, Wishes coming back. That is pretty nice. I could probably recite the whole thing by memory. But every other example, I agree with you 100%.
Oh my gosh. I know. I don't think I ever went when they did Wishes, but I forget, when are they bringing Wishes back?
No. I don't know. But now I got to look it up.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, two of you, for joining me to just geek out about Disney. And so I'm not just talking to my cat about Disneyland because he doesn't care. Even though there's cats at Disneyland.
There are.
I haven't seen them.
Very friendly cats.
But thank you very much. Now, is there anything you'd like to plug, Brittany?
I have a podcast that I occasionally record on where myself and my very, very good friend, Emily Lynn, we talk about everything but Star Wars. If you'd like to listen, that is called The Canto Bite Dispatch. You can find us everywhere on social media. And I can't promise you that our socials are as updated as they probably should be. Just that's my fault. Just it's fine. We just record. We have fun. We record because we love each other and we enjoy the conversations we have. And sometimes we forget that there are people listening, but I feel like that's what podcasting should be. You know, you record a podcast because you have a great time with your friends and you want your other friends to listen too. So there you go. That's where you can find me.
Sean?
I mean, I feel like I just need to copy everything Brittany just said, 'cause that was perfect. I'm on a podcast with my good friend Andy Bell. Our podcast is called Just Shillin'. We're not too far into it. We're kind of getting it up off the ground. So we appreciate everybody who listens and gives us feedback. We talk about a lot of the pop culture stuff that we're watching, crazy deep dives into like Star Wars Bad Batch episodes with our harebrained theories and things like that. And just generally the other kind of the stuff that we love and stuff that we're up to. So yeah, you can, the easiest thing to do is probably go to our website, justshillin.com. We have links to everything there. But yeah, I really appreciate you having me on, and anytime you want to talk Disney or any of this kind of stuff, or I'm always down. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you both coming on. It's the evening for you both. So thank you for giving up your time with your loved ones. I had a slight adventure, but you know, prior to recording. But yeah, you can find me at Catherine_Neen on all the socials, and That Geek Pod on everywhere as well. Can't promise there'll be any schedule to podcast releases. It's yeah, as Brittany said, friends catching up, so that's what I podcast for. So thanks everyone, and That Geek Pod will return.